And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast. I'm Mike Sweeney.
I'm Jesse Gaskell.
And we're writers on the Conan Show
and
on TBS.
How low our voices can
go. It's on at 11. That's it. And you know, we talk about behind the scenes of Conan, and or we like to talk to people who have some sort of Conan connection other than his immediate family, and that's what we
people
do.
People who are varying degrees away from Conan.
Exactly. See how far we can stretch it. Today, someone who is next to him at a red light.
Yeah.
A little tangential, but we can make it work. A little light in the...
We're going to squeeze 45 minutes
sure.
out.
Sure. Oh, today we have, holy cow, our
guest
today.
Oh, no, yeah. We've got a real big fish.
Mm-hmm. This guy, he's the head writer on Conan.
Is.
Matt O'Brien.
Hey.
Hi, Matt.
Hi,
how are
Matt.
You?
No relation.
Hey. No relation.
Do you have to say that to people?
All the time.
Ugh.
Yeah, because it seems like nepotism.
Right.
It does, and it would make sense.
Yeah. Because that's how Hollywood works.
Yes, and I'm ill-equipped right. for the job.
Of course, physically, I think if anyone who saw you wouldn't ask that question.
They would not mistake
you. You look like
one
of
Conan's relatives.
Yeah.
Not an
ex, what?
Sorry, let's say college football player.
Mm-hmm. No one mistakes Conan for that.
No. Not anymore. I look like a schlub. Basically.
No, you look great.
You look
Central
like a comedy writer.
Like a comedy writer?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
schlub.
Don't worry. You don't look too jockey.
Hey, it's thanks. Not, I'm not trying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, what's he doing here?
Thank God I didn't wear my jersey today.
41.
41.
That's right. Your mother showed me a photo of
you. A vault. Yes, I remember that. It was a horrific, horrific day.
She knows just how.
Oh, really? You did play college football?
No.
No,
oh,
I was high school.
Oh, high school football.
I was trying to.
Okay. Yeah, that's not something we should talk about.
No. So. I'm sure, at this point, people are riveted.
Yes. Hey, I know the topics to bring up.
Yeah.
Oh, perspective.
God. Please say they ran the wishbone offense. Please say they ran the wishbone offense.
Oh, I hope he was a jock for a few years.
God, please. All option football.
Well,
Matt, thank you for putting aside your resentment toward this podcast.
Yes,
I would be on it.
Right.
Wait, we talked about that last time. My resentment's been quelled.
Oh, I didn't even remember that.
We're recording this on
I
a
only
Sunday.
Remember positive thoughts.
Yeah, we've moved our recording time to Sunday at 4 a.m.
because we learned
to not interfere.
No one can say they're not available on a Sunday. Everyone.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Quite available.
We know.
We're actually at your house right now. We just rang the bell.
Yes.
And caught you.
No one on the staff is religious. Sundays are wide open.
I don't think anyone is religious.
Well, they're going to keep quiet about it, I think.
I think they are.
They'll be ostracized.
That's a firing offense on a late night show. So
they have their Bible hidden.
Yeah.
Under some comic books.
Right.
Yeah.
They've wrapped it in a different cover, in a Nietzsche cover.
Although some of them are always pitching Old Testament bits.
That's true. In a copy of Infinite Jest.
It's always revealed. No one's read that book.
That's true.
No. I'm finally going to sell mine.
Yeah.
I've had it on my shelf for years, and I just decided I'll sell it to the last bookstore.
The
if
one
they'll
downstairs.
Take it, yeah.
Tell us how much
they
get
they
for
have
it.
An entire load-bearing doorway arch of infinite jests.
That's what the store is built out of.
Infinite jests.
We built an annex. Anyway, I guess that's it. Oh, no. So
there's a reason we wanted to have Matt on.
I mean, Jesse brought up, you just hired a new writer.
We just hired a new writer.
Who started this week.
Yes, her name is Glenn Buzan.
Glenn Buzan, and she's... fit right in.
She's fit right in. She's lovely,
mm-hmm.
very personable.
Feels like she's always been here.
Yes. She
very funny.
Yes, very funny and friendly and seems easy to work with.
Yeah.
And
so far. I mean, it's
so
been 2 days.
It's been 2 days.
how was she? How did the lunch go? Was that?
We had lunch today with her, and
right.
She was conversational.
She didn't order anything weird.
Didn't run out of things to talk about.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I would have liked to have been at the lunch, but I had to edit.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, someone has to produce stuff for the
show. Hold
down
the fort. The Scraps episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, will this be out before the Scrap? No, it won't.
No.
So the Scrap episode will have already aired.
Yeah,
yeah, it'll be ancient history.
I look forward to the think pieces.
There'll be a lot
Vulture
of people
will
grinding
rank
over it.
The scraps.
The greatest scraps of all time.
No, the scrap shows are fun. I mean, yeah, people, I think people like to see that stuff.
I think
stuff.
It's great.
It's behind the scenes.
Yeah, because we roll on every rehearsal, and occasionally there are outtakes from rehearsals right. that are
That's what the scrap
very
show
fun.
Is.
And
yeah.
how many
we
more
scraps,
of the same...
Outtakes of rehearsals.
Right, how many more of the same type of... I mean... As opposed to us just cranking out another episode of our show, why not do a little different?
Yeah.
Yeah, mix it up.
Unpolished, show a different side of Conan.
Right,
and
we're
Andy.
Usually so buttoned up.
We
it's
are.
It's nice for people
yes.
to see that we can make mistakes.
Right, finally our unpolished show ends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes people tune in and go, wait, is this the Kennedy Honors? Oh, no, it's coming. Okay. It's coming. Yeah. All right, sorry. So the hiring
so we hired,
process.
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
this was a
process.
Lengthy process.
This was.
How
right.
long? How many months has this been going
so
on
So we
for?
Put the call out for writers, I think either in December or January.
Oh my God.
Of yeah, of 2016.
yeah.
Of this year. And then we got, I think around 430 submissions.
That's
wow.
insane.
And there weren't there also an additional number of like
Unsolicited? Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, so that doesn't include the ones you didn't...
Does not include some that we did not accept because they were just sort of
right.
sent in...
Right, over the transom.
Yes, some maybe they tracked down an email address
right.
or something, but...
they came in a
we don't,
envelope full of anthrax.
There was a white powder surrounding the packet. So we... Yes, so some people we just said, you know, we don't accept unsolicited submissions, but... It was more than I anticipated,
yeah.
but I guess word just spread amongst agents and managers and friends of friends and that kind of thing. And the writers here had people they recommended to read. And so I made the decision to read all of them just because I thought if someone's going to take the time to and agonize over a submission and writing a packet that I should... Read all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it took...
And you also have young twins at home.
I have two-year-old twins at home. They read half of the packets. I read the other half.
What a great way to get out of childcare duties.
That is...
Honey, I'd like to help.
I'm reading my...
But I'm on number 289.
I'm reading my 10th Marie Kondo parody tonight.
Oh.
Well, yeah, so maybe you can walk us through what some... I mean, it sounds like there were probably a lot of similar...
Sure. Well, it's funny because a lot of them are written in January and...
Right.
Right.
By the time I had finished them up in, I guess, July... things
You're
had,
trying to
things
remember
moved along.
What Trump did in January.
Marie Kondo, I remember, was a big one. I think Kendall Jenner's lip kit, I think it just sold out. Her website had just crashed or something
wow.
like that.
Well, that's timeless.
Yes, that's evergreen.
Yeah.
People really nailed the voice of our show.
They did. gosh, I'm trying to think what else. I mean, just general... the Virginia politician appearing in blackface in the yearbook. That was a big story back then. So there was a lot of those.
He's on SNL now.
Yes. He's replacing Leslie Jones. Yes. So I finally got through all of them and we landed on Glenn. Which
wow.
is pretty,
wow.
it's a compliment to her.
That is quite
totally.
A compliment.
Those
numbers are wild.
I think mm-hmm. they're pretty staggering, right? From,
yeah.
from what I understand.
Yeah, because you were the head writer
for a bit.
Long time. 15 years.
The most we ever got were 200. And the number always crept up.
Sure.
But what do you think?
I think my mistake was.
Oh, I don't think it's a mistake.
I think
doubling of the numbers. It's.
Right.
Do you think it has to do with more people are just involved in because
there's more comedy
internet?
Writers? Yeah.
That's
well,
one
maybe
that's
fewer comedy question. Jobs.
Fewer comedy jobs, maybe. I think our show is one of the few late night shows that kind of just does pure silly sketch
right.
comedy. So I think that there, you know, there are obviously people that write, are joke writers that write, you know, political jokes and do very ultra topical comedy. So maybe we had I'm sure a lot of those people still apply to our show, but the net was also wider to just more pure sketch comedy writers. So I don't know if that. Well, I also think I just didn't rein in who we put the call
out
to.
Well, you posted it on the Starbucks bulletin. I
did. You tore a number off the bottom of the flyer. Yes. So, yeah, ZipRecruiter, are they a sponsor? I'm sure. They were a big help.
Would you look at stuff besides the written submission? Because now so many people have, you can go online.
So the people would send us a written submission, and then if I like the written submission, a lot of times people would include a link to their Twitter account or videos they had done online or other pieces they had written.
Right.
You know, or had, you know, published it, say, The Onion or Clickhole.
And
or,
did that stuff help?
I mean, those definitely.
Supplemental materials.
Absolutely. Especially because you see someone can write for the voice of a publication, a show, you know, a website, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that they're used to producing, making their ideas come to life, if you will.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I mean, not only writing, but editing, shooting, executing their ideas, if you will.
Yeah, because that's a big difference between our show and other shows is that
the writers
have to direct and produce all of their
the writer sketches. Takes an idea from its infancy to its
final
stillbirth
to its stillbirth to when stillbirth means it got
it's
on
reverse,
the show
right? Yeah.
Stillbirth means it got on. correct. So a writer have we talked about this before on the show? A writer is in charge of, so when they pitch something and it's approved, they write the script, they cast it, they select the music, select the wardrobe, the set design, the props. They work with all the departments to, it's basically their vision on some level. So they
editing, the shooting of it, the shots.
They shoot it, they edit it.
It's very collaborative. It's all collaborative.
It's all collaborative, but they're driving the whole thing.
Involved that's exactly in every step.
We have an amazing production staff.
Yes.
That is very keen and sharp in terms of what we're looking for.
Right.
They latch onto it quickly. So anyway, yes. So people that have done that with their own material before, that's certainly a plus for our show. Yeah.
It's a leg up.
Yes, they've produced before, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, what were some things you found that were maybe red flags? Or turnoffs?
Let's see. There was a few. It's funny. Everybody has their own take on gun violence, but there was a lot of gun ideas that were very dark and dry that almost felt like
pro-gun.
They almost felt pro-gun, yes. They were dripping in irony a little bit, but they came across as Conan goes and buys a gun and then runs through a public place with it. hilarity ensues, you know, so...
Conan is arrested.
Yeah.
I become the host of the show.
Bit. Yeah. Tonally, that's not what our show really does. So when you saw an idea like that, it's like, oh, okay, it's maybe not in our wheelhouse. One thing you did, there's a lot of late night shows, obviously, and people apply to multiple shows, obviously. That's a very common thing. Sometimes people will send in a packet and forget to change the name in the idea.
God.
So it'll say Jimmy. Jimmy, you know, goes over to the performance area or James has decided to audition for.
Do you ever play a fun game and try to figure out whether they mean Jimmy
Kimmel
or Fallon?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good one. One packet I got was all ideas exclusively happening on the streets of New York.
Yay.
Which, as you know, our show does not shoot in New York any longer. Yeah. So I didn't know if it was that they did not know
that
the show had moved.
They haven't seen it in 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Either they did not know that the show had moved to Los Angeles in 2009, or they were just Fallon ideas that they had.
Coma writer.
That's very lazy.
Yeah,
that's a red flag. It's tough to give them a pass.
But those are fun. When I would imagine when you're reading 400 packets, that's the kind of thing you're dying for. It's like, yay, throw immediately.
You can get rid of it very quickly.
Yes,
it's great.
Do you have other
pass?
Did you develop other shorthand for winnowing? Cutting out of down. One quickly.
Yeah, like how many would you force yourself to read if the first couple were
right, at the first three, I would probably go through.
Because usually people, I think, would put their best ideas at the top of the packet.
So you're talking about idea. Oh, can you want to explain how many ideas
a packet is? Sure.
So a packet, a submission to our show is 8 to 10 ideas in paragraph form. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of just short paragraphs.
Right.
Yeah.
The idea being that a good, solid idea can sort of be explained and crystallized in a paragraph or less. It's not full scripts. Yeah. It doesn't need to have, you could give maybe one or two examples, but it doesn't need to have a whole fully fleshed out.
But there should be some funny beats in it.
It should read funny, if possible. Sure.
Sometimes they're very general. Like sometimes people would be like, just
Conan says something funny about the mortgage crisis.
Another red flag would be some people would literally say, would end the idea with, and hilarity ensues.
You can only do that when you've been working here 9 months. Because most of the things you read, and funnier ideas ensues to come.
Can we go home?
Right.
Beats TBD.
Yes, exactly. So some people would just say, it was a couple words short of just, and funny things happen.
Right.
Those were typically, again, they were sort of like, well, okay.
Right.
One less to consider.
And how about, do sometimes people go too dirty in a submission?
Mm.
That's interesting. Yes.
Well, maybe not. Maybe you didn't, really.
I will say there were some very dirty. And it's funny that a lot of times the ideas would be written in sort of kind of almost like internet shorthand or sort of this kind of rough, like modern parlance. Like, so Conan is like, they'll just write, is like, hanging out with this sexy woman. And then do everything but say like, and then get this, those are people that I think just have not submitted to shows. They're probably young and if they have funny ideas, they maybe don't know how to present them concisely to put it nicely.
I notice in a lot of younger Twitter comedy people is that it's all lowercase and there's no punctuation. Did you get
some of that? Yeah. There's people would write one thing I've always found funny, TBH, is like, oh God.
They didn't even have time to write out. Write
to be honest.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
would they,
which is why I think I cast too wide a net.
Yeah. You want people who at least are going to take the time to
to write, to be
acronyms.
Honest, and say, talk to you later.
They're trying to save you time. I think they're being respectful.
Certain people would submit an idea and they would start with like, have you ever noticed when, and they would sort of be like, have you ever noticed when, what's the deal with, there was a little of that. Seinfeld did submit.
Hey,
I thought these were supposed to be blind submissions.
he made it to the final round, but ultimately elected to stick with the.
But that is, you did read them blind, right?
I read them blind. So our writer's coordinator, Kathy, who was very diligent, she takes the names off of them and gives them a number and creates a master list with all the numbers and names that I don't see. So I just read them. They're just numbers to me.
Yeah.
And so that's to take any bias or preconception out of it, and it's just to kind of let, hopefully, the cream rise.
And did you have a ranking system, or would you just be like, this is a save pile and a
The way I did it was just A, B, C, and I would just write A, B, or C on it. A was someone I liked and keep in the short pile. B is pretty good, and maybe I'll give it another glance to see, give it another read just to make sure it wasn't because I was tired or didn't. And then C was no. Yeah, that was it. So, and then slowly I'd go back and I read the B pile, and then that would get winnowed down quickly. Yeah. And a lot of times
since
I would
probably many still in the A pile.
There was not many from the B pile that I went back and was like.
Turns out you weren't that tired.
I was fresh. Yeah. I couldn't have been more aware.
Right.
So, yeah, that's all it is. And then the A pile. I gave Mike Sweeney some to read.
I read some A-Piles.
Close to the show. He read some A-Piles.
Yeah, I read 10 A-Piles, and they were all great.
To see what he liked, and then, so we cross-referenced what we both liked, and then Conan finally reads.
Right. Oh, yeah. How many did Conan read?
6, I think, which is a very small percentage from 430.
I was going to say, well, the A-pile you gave me was only 10. I mean, there must have initially been a much bigger A-pile.
Yeah, there's probably 30 or 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Yeah.
It just takes it just takes a long time, and you don't want to let – you try not to let anything slip, you know, fall through the cracks because you want to try to land on –
The best one.
Candidate,
yeah.
You know, the one that you like the best. So.
Yeah.
Were you concerned that you might pick someone who then had like gotten another big job or maybe had died in the meantime?
Right. A lot of time went by.
It's true.
Started a family.
Yes. Had retired since they submitted. that did not happen in our case, but certainly seemed very possible. That they would maybe not be available by the time we offered them something.
And once you landed on Glenn, did she come in for an interview?
She came in for a quick, just a 10-minute interview just to say hi. There's nothing, you know, densely informational about it other than hi, hello. You know,
you just want to make sure she doesn't have a weird mole or something.
Exactly. That she doesn't look all funny.
Yeah.
that she can, yes, that she doesn't, you know, cry when talking to people or anything like that, any affliction like that. So she just came in. I just chatted with her, and I interviewed 5 people, and that's just who we landed on. Yeah. So, I mean, the interview, I would love to
the other 4
regale you with questions. I mean, it was just sort of like, hey, where are you from? You know, so you know the show, you know, we're interested, that kind of thing. You know, nothing, it was very casual.
Right. Do you know that story about Brian Rich, who was a writer on the show?
No, but that's a great story to tell. I mean, I'm sorry, I do, but you should tell it.
Yeah. No, it's just he is a really great writer on the old late night show. And he was leaving to go, I think, work on Just Shoot Me. Mm-hmm. He's going to work on a sitcom. He's moving to L.A. And so Jonathan Groff was a head writer. Great head writer, was, you know, reading submissions, finally narrowed it down. And one night we were late in the writer's meeting after dinner. It was like 10:30 and Brian Rich was still there. It was this last week. And someone said, hey, are you going to – have you hired Brian Rich's replacement yet? And he goes, you know what? I can't believe you said that. I've narrowed it down to this one guy. I'm going to – you know what? I'm going to call him right now and offer him the job. And we're like, okay, great. So he called him with all the writers in the room. I mean, and he put him on speakerphone. He's like, hey, you know, this is Jonathan Groff, you know, from Conan. And he's like, hey, hi, we loved your submission. We want to offer you the job. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, that's great. Can you take me off speakerphone? And so we're all like, holy cow, what is happening? And we're just watching Jonathan Groff go, yeah, but no, well, you know, sure. Sometimes, you know, the show isn't great every night, but.
My God.
And we're like, what? Holy cow. And then he hangs up and he goes, he turned down the job. He said he didn't love the stuff we've been doing on the show lately since he submitted, and he'd rather not. And we were all stunned. Everyone's just stunned. And then we're all like, oh, God. What show are we working? Like, we all felt terrible. And then Brian Rich goes, I have to explain something. And Brian Rich wrote a new submission for his own job.
Oh, my God.
And he...
which takes a lot of work.
Wow.
Takes a lot of work. He had such a, like...
Also, he was that confident that he'd get hired.
I was going to say, he had
Oh, wow.
He had a healthy ego.
Yeah.
And I he submitted it, and he hired, there was an actor we used on our show.
What? That's unbelievable. Something Flynn,
and he had him play the writer and used his name and coached him on what to do if Jonathan Groff called him and offered
him
the job.
How did he know Groff was going to put him on speakerphone in that meeting? That was just perfect.
It was just perfect.
Oh, my
God. It was just, and so Brian Rich just told everyone right after that, and we were all stunned.
That's incredible.
That's insane.
So then,
that's legendary.
It was unbelievable. And then the next week, it was Brian Rich's last show, and he was kind of, like back then in the early days, Conan would mention a writer on their last show.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got this idea to, I called the actor, and I talked to Conan. I said, oh, do you want to say we have a writer who's leaving the show? And we bring him out and interview him, but have it be this fictitious writer. So we snuck him in. And I was in the office with when it happened. Like Brian Conan goes, well, you know, I left a minute or two at the end of the show because we have a writer who's been so great on the show and we're really going to miss him. And he's and let's bring him out. And his name was Hank Flynn. He goes, let's bring him out. Hank Flynn, ladies and gentlemen. And Hank Flynn comes out. And Conan talks to him. He goes, so you're leaving to write for Suddenly Susan and good luck. Yeah. And he was, I think he was pissed.
Oh, my God.
He's like, my mother was going to watch tonight.
Yeah.
Oh man, just desserts.
I love that.
God, I love that he got his comeuppance.
No, but that was just an amazing.
That's unbelievable.
Prank that he pulled.
The amount of foresight.
When you interviewed Andy Blitz, you talked about him hiring someone to attend the Emmys for him.
Yeah. That's,
we did that make the cut of the
We're asking Kevin, our producer, did that make it in? Because that was a three-hour interview with Andy Blitz.
Blitz could have kept going.
Right.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right.
We barely got out of the 90s with
this. I would say the show has a long history of writers hiring actors
to do insane
stunts.
I know. It's always fun.
That reminds me, though, we should have... the writing staff should have submitted during this go-round just to see how far they would get that cut. True. Yeah.
I would have just resigned right away.
The thing is if you think about that, though, what an exhausting thing to have to do. All right, I got to go home and write a packet.
Yeah. Eight ideas?
Just as a prank.
And to do it.
And to do it well so that it has a shot.
That you want to get.
That you want to get hired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
No, it's very impressive.
It just sounds so laborious for no reason.
He's a great writer.
Here we are.
We're still talking about
here
it.
Here we are talking about it. Brian Rich is a great writer. Yeah. He's very prolific.
Very, very funny.
Very funny.
Created
the Masturbating Bear, correct?
Oh, wow.
Or is that a controversy? Yes. That didn't
No. That is not a controversy. He created the Masturbating Bear. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All-timer.
Played by Michael Gordon.
Played by Michael Gordon. Yes. One of the original writers on the show.
Yeah.
And you know what? When someone else played the bear, the one or two times Gordon couldn't do it, people are like,
they could tell.
He's not masturbating.
He's not masturbating
correctly. Yeah. It's not the right intensity.
He doesn't have the posture.
No.
He doesn't have the right
The way mouth. He would do it, it really, it was hard for me to watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It made me feel very uncomfortable.
It was like he was getting ready to receive a serve in tennis. Like he would really spread out and get a firm base ready for anything.
He was very proud of that.
And then the way he's going to town on those testicles
testicles in a diaper.
Oh, it looked painful.
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever commented on is clearly elephantitis of the testicles.
Yes.
I mean, no one's also testes the, are that large.
Whatever family estate owns the rights to the saber dance was like, why are we getting all these checks in the mail for the use of, they would play the saber dance music.
Right.
While he masturbated.
They're going to put those back up online, and I don't think we can use the original saber dance.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
So what's the alternative?
You'll see.
Oh, boy.
I think just furious, quiet masturbation without any music accompaniment. Michael Gordon's proud of that role. If you IMDb him, his bio photo is the head
his
of the
picture master. His picture is the head of the
master. He must have IMDb Pro. Because I think in order to change your photo, you have to.
He pays $79.99 a year to keep that as his profile photo.
He has his priorities straight.
So does this process ring true to you, Sweeney? Was this also what you went through when you'd hire?
Yes. I would be, when I was new to it, if I read a submission where there was two really good ideas, but then the other eight weren't mm-hmm. great, I would be torn. I couldn't put it aside.
Right. That's a B pile.
That was a B pile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it took me a while. It takes a while to get the shorthand where after reading three paragraphs, you're like, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to read the rest. But that I think that comes, right?
Occasionally it'd start off with two really good ideas. And you're mm-hmm. like, okay, here we go.
Right.
And then it would fall off a cliff
right.
really quickly and be like, oh, well, okay.
It would be that probably those can't. Are the hardest ones.
Those are tough. Right. Because the first two, you're like, we would do these.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
But these other six would get crickets.
Right.
So would you say the consistency is more important than, like, would you rather have eight B ideas?
Oh, that's a good
over two A's and six C's? And
six crickets.
Six crickets. Yeah. No, I think consistent, there's got to be a couple of A's in there regardless.
Yeah.
So ultimately, a couple of A ideas mm-hmm. Followed by some B's is fine. But this is, the conversation's taken such a weird turn. We're just talking in letters.
It is. I feel like
a couple of A's.
I feel like we're in a teacher's lounge.
Yeah, a couple of B's, a couple of A's, but then it went into C territory.
Okay. Yeah.
I think all B's, for example, would not survive.
Okay.
So you'd have to score some home runs early on, and then you just keep your head above water. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I like the anonymous aspect to it. I don't know if that surprises people
to know,
but we've always done mm-hmm. it that way.
I don't know firsthand if other shows do it that way. I haven't heard of.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I haven't heard of any other place that does it blind like that, actually. But that also could have just, maybe that's changed. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, but it is, there's a purity to it.
Yeah.
There's no bias going in. You're just reading pure ideas. From who knows.
Yeah. Were there people who tried to make it clear who they were via their,
You know what?
And then we call my dad, Mr. Harrison
my
Ford.
Dad. his son's a restaurateur, so.
Oh, so you wouldn't want this
I would
job.
Know that it was someone pretending to be Harrison Ford.
Yeah, so. He could dabble.
He could dabble. I would say there were people that would cast writers that they clearly were friends with on the show in their ideas in the packet.
Mm-hmm.
They're so trying to say, hint that, hey.
I can get to this
Andre,
person.
Andre is in the audience. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Doing so and such and such. This character played by my good friend Jesse Gaskell.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you got my packet.
Yes. It was a B. It was a good solid B.
Oh, did you? I think one of the happiest moments is getting to call someone and offer them mm-hmm. a job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you get to do?
Yes.
Was that,
didn't put her on speakerphone?
No.
Unfortunately.
I did not. I called her. Yeah, I just called her and my wife was actually in the car when I did it. And
she said, run.
She was like, this is your chance to really make a sound decision. I know you're excited, but let's think this through. I called her. She was very excited, obviously. And I was honestly very excited myself because I was relieved that we had.
That you were finally done with this.
Finally
eight
done
month
with
journey.
This. Yeah, with this process. It's also not fair to everybody that's submitted to have this open ended.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. managers and agents would call me and be like, so are you guys still hiring someone? And I'd say, yeah, I'm 330 packets in. You know, you have
I'm three quarters through Infinite Jest right now.
I'm at the last bookstore building, sitting in a chair made out of Infinite Jests, reading. Nobody understands what we're talking about. Yeah, so that was great. It was a relief for me, too. It was as exciting for me to get that off my shoulders.
Yeah.
And next time, we will not be
600
telling anyone.
I was going to ask, would you go back to the submissions you've already gotten, or would you do a new?
That's a good question. I think it just depends on how much time
elapses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that being said, even though some of the ideas or the topical subjects were, you know, a little dated at this point, you still very much got the idea of whether a person could
had a
good comedic point of view when they were pitching it.
Yeah.
Like when we've hired mono writers, there'd be a several month, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
Everyone did it over a 2 week period.
Yeah.
And so it's all this, but you actually remember all those premises
from
when you're doing the show, and you just literally judge them.
Probably did jokes about it at the time.
Exactly. You know. So it's not dated in that way.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
Yes. No.
I'm actually interested to hear this. The answer to this question.
As opposed to everything up till now, she's been finally. After 7 months.
No, I was just proud of myself.
Her headphones are pumping in another podcast.
Wants to hear an answer.
I'm proud of myself for coming up with a question.
Thank you.
Drum roll. I'm so excited.
No, I were there any, did you read pitches in packets that were really close to something we had done?
Or almost exactly,
then worried?
That they would think we were stealing their idea?
Yes.
I wasn't, that's a good point. I guess I'd never crossed my mind, that people would,
well, there people would be public sign outcry.
They sign a release.
Yes.
Giving us permission to kind of, they kind of relinquish the material, but it's.
But there's a finite number of ideas I think in the
very,
world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it'd also be, unprofessional and probably actionable if we just used ideas.
Oh my God.
We never do that ever.
There was, I got one once where in the time between all the submissions came in and the time I read them, we had done someone's idea exactly.
Wow.
And I called them up. Like I was worried.
That's
about
the lawyer in you.
Yeah. I was the writer, I'd be like, oh my God, they.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they just.
What else would you think?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Tyra Banks is opening up like a sort of a, I don't know how you describe it. I guess like
model,
a model amusement park.
Yeah, yeah.
Or simulation land or something in Santa Monica. And when that story came out, someone pitched that Conan should take a tour of it with Tyra Banks and take him through the whatever their attractions are, becoming a supermodel,
right?
And two people pitched
the same
idea, in their packets. So, but
luckily, Tyra Banks would never say yes, so it's not an issue.
So it does happen.
Yeah,
it does happen.
But you can't. It is a route. You can't go down. Deal with that.
Everybody,
especially with 400 submissions.
Yeah, everybody's going after the same piece of
premises.
Meat.
Right,
yeah.
The same. There's a limited number of premises.
A lot of and for example, that story where the guy was wearing blackface in his yearbook. There was a lot of there was a lot of ideas about coaching white politicians on how, like what's acceptable behavior and what's not.
Right.
So even if it wasn't the exact same idea, it was generally the same.
Right.
This is a course where Conan teaches a white politician what's acceptable, what's not.
You know,
the white politician has no idea, can't discern what's offensive, what's not, you know, that kind of thing. You got a lot of overlap if it wasn't the exact same idea.
Mm. Yeah.
There was one year where it was all, everyone had Yeti pitches.
Yeti?
It was Yeti and Bigfoot pitches.
It was a Yeti year.
Yeah. I don't know. I literally don't know what was going on. I didn't feel like they were in the zeitgeist or anything.
So there was a
full Yeti.
More than one person pitched Conan and Jose Canseco searching for Bigfoot or aliens or something.
Wait, what?
Jose Canseco apparently
is he a Bigfoot
is a Bigfoot truther.
Oh, there you go.
So that was I only learned that from reading the packets.
See that?
I didn't realize that Jose Canseco was a big. Maybe it's extraterrestrials. I can't remember. One of those.
Yeah, something wacky.
One of those truthers.
Well, you can't go wrong with Canseco. I know.
Jose Canseco doing
just
anything.
Team up with Canseco and the original, go do it.
One half of the Bash Brothers.
The Bash Brothers.
The Bash Brothers.
Ex-jock.
That's right.
That is a supreme callback.
That is nice. The Bash Bros.
Bash Bros.
Are you glad we got you out of the writer's room for a bit?
Absolutely. This has been, I think, the most compelling episode you guys have done.
Yeah.
We can say that right now.
Sure.
Right?
We'll pair this one with McCann on the comm.
On the comm.
Right. On the comm meter.
Today on Headspace, we'll be listening to the dulcet tones
Matt O'Brien
of Inside Conan.
He'll take you through the alphabet, just the top of it, A, B, C, and D.
And back up to A again.
With special guest Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo. And that Virginia politician that was in blackface in his yearbook.
January 2019.
Thank you for having me. This is great. I always love coming down here. I hope this was informative.
I think we're really excited that this all worked out. And
yes.
Congratulations to Glenn Boozan. Yeah.
Glenn is great. We love Glenn.
We already love Glenn.
Yeah, yes.
She's very funny.
She's a very natural fit. So whatever your process is,
it worked.
It worked out.
Nice work.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks a lot.
Well, that was informative.
That was very informative.
No, it was also very fun.
Yeah. It was fun to talk to Matt, and yes, that was a long process, so.
I know. I'm really glad I didn't have to do it.
I'm talking about our interview with him, not the hiring of
writing. It was 8 months long.
Yes, that's crazy. 8 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what can you do when you get 400 submissions?
I know. And I mean, it's really a testament to Glenn that she was hired
our
after all that.
Yes.
Thank God I didn't have to beat 400 other people.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. I think 3 other people submitted when I got hired.
And they were all for Jimmy Kimmel.
Exactly.
So that's it for our show this week. I think eventually we'll probably introduce you all to Glenn.
Yes, we should meet Glenn. That would be really nice to have her on.
Yeah.
We should have her get used to the job first.
Yeah, we thought we should let her form her own prejudices first.
Right. And then have people she wants to malign on the air.
Yes, exactly.
Great.
But thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
We like you. Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Produced by Kevin Bartelt.
Engineered by Will Becton.
Mixed by Ryan Connor.
Supervising producer is Aaron Blaird.
Associate producer, Jen Sample. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
Ta-da!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.